Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Progressing Recruiters Lives Everywhere podcast. I'm your host, Andy Barrow, one of the associate directors here at Moria Bond. And today we'll be diving into the topic that's relevant to everyone in the fast-paced world of recruitment, stress management and how to handle the recruitment roller coaster. So today joining me is Lisa Garner, our group L&D manager here at Moria Bond. So welcome, Lisa.
Thanks, Andy. I'm really pleased to be here.
Thank you for joining us. It's not the first time we've done this, right? So it should be quite nice to reacquaint ourselves on this type of stuff together. So
absolutely.
Let's kick off. The tip you've got for stress management for recruiters. Can you share some insight how they can effectively manage stress, particularly when we've got the challenges of a recruitment process?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great to be doing a podcast with you again. I know we're very well aligned on helping people as much as we can with stress. I think the most important thing with stress is to recognise what it physically feels like in your body. Because I think sometimes it's actually like being aware of how it makes you feel rather than powering through and not recognizing it. It's like the number one thing for me. So you might feel it in different ways, and people, we're all different, right? So I feel it in my chest when I'm stressed. So you might get a feeling in your chest that's like heavy, that's sometimes shortness of breath. Other people, it's very much around like their jaw and their throat area. So it kind of aligns with chakras, if anyone's into the chakras out there. But yeah, you can feel it around your throat area, and that's where people get a change in your voice, a change in like in swallowing, and that can impact your breathing as well. Maybe you're someone who grinds your teeth and your jaw in your sleep as well. That can be a real sign of stress. My husband does that. He has to wear a gum shield for it. But really recognizing it and sitting and feeling that feeling. So when you're stressed, think, okay, I'm going to investigate like where I'm feeling this and how it feels. So that when you get that feeling in that area of your body, some people it's very much around their stomach. Like I know so many people who have like real stomach problems.
For sure.
Really, yeah. Is. I mean, a lot of your emotions in your gut, isn't it? So it's a huge one, that. So I'd say recognize it and really just sit with how it feels, so that when you start to get these physical feelings, that you can then have strategies to deal with it. So obviously it can be quite a stressful role, you know, especially when we're like mega busy, which we all want to be because that's what we're here for. But sometimes the excitement of the busyness versus the stress, and the stress can win. So I'd say some top tips are, I think mindfulness is a fabulous way to deal with stress. So just trying to like be in the present moment, which I know is easier said than done when you've got jobs and you're really busy and it's really niche, really specialist. You're trying to find people because your brain's running away with you and you just feel like you can't stop. But you sometimes have to slow down to get faster and to be more efficient. So if you are overwhelmed, try and stop in order to get better and to be able to perform better. So a really great mindfulness tip is, you've probably heard this, Andy, because I know you're really clued up in this field, but you know, the five things you can see, the four things you can hear, the three things you feel, the two things you can smell, and the one thing you can taste. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Every sense has one of those numbers. It doesn't matter if you get them mixed up with one of the senses or the other. It's much easier to list five things you can see, because you're not going to be able to taste five things at the same time. But that activity is so useful. My friend did it with me when I was like, I used to be very scared of flying, and she did it in an airport with me. And I do it with other people because I've practiced mindfulness and coached in mindfulness for a long time. And when someone actually did it with me in the moment, I was like, it's super effective. So it's really quick. It takes a couple of minutes. Well, it takes less than a couple of minutes. Do that. Think of five things you can see, four things you can hear, three things you can feel, two things you can smell, one thing you can taste. Do that. And what it does is it makes you get into your body, feel how you're feeling, and be in the present moment. Do nice deep breathing, and before you know it, you've kicked in some of that really nice serotonin, a little bit of dopamine, and you're releasing some happy hormones and chemicals in your brain, which are going to fight the bad guys, the cortisol that's making you feel stressed. So that's a really good tip, I would say. And also just know what your boundaries are. And obviously, someone as senior as yourself in the recruitment industry, you will probably have had this struggle of knowing when is home, when is work, when to actually really draw that line of like, hang on a minute, I want to be in this industry for the long term. I can't just completely blur these boundaries. So like having some decent boundaries, I'm sure you've had the challenge yourself, Andy.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think quite often, not just myself, but you can imagine you hear it, a lot of people, when they're home, they're thinking about the other thing. When they're there, they're thinking about home. Yeah, so yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
I think it's interesting you said about the slow down to go faster thing. You know, there's an old phrase that I heard and I use it a lot is less haste, more speed. And it's like, go fast, yeah, but don't rush.
Yeah.
Rushing your trip over, but take a moment. Work with speed, but don't trip over your laces. Yeah, so it's nice that you said that.
Yeah.
Any other tips before we move on to question two?
So I'd say, you hear this a lot, people saying put things into bite-sized chunks, but I really agree with that. I think if you can get your time management on point, and because in the early days of recruitment, I used to just try and do everything the minute everything happened, because I'm pacey me, I'm fast. Even when I was a permanent recruiter, I was fast, because they say, oh, permanent are a bit slower. I was always fast, 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 fast. And I think sitting back and thinking about how to chunk your time, how to spend it wisely, I think that takes a lot of pressure off as well.
One of the biggest challenges and most important steps, right, I think, constantly, whatever role someone's in, that the planning, prioritizing, and speed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point. So, question two, what strategies would you recommend for recruiters so they can navigate that recruitment roller coaster, whether it be maybe in more uncertain times or if there's market fluctuations? You've kind of dipped into it a little bit with some of these strategies already, some of these tips already, but it follows on quite nicely, really.
So, I've been in the recruitment industry for like 24 years, a long time. And I was in the industry when the credit crunch happened. And I would say the people who survived that roller coaster, because everyone were freaking out at that time, because things were really challenging.
Yeah.
You'll remember, won't you? I know I feel like you're younger than me, Andy, but you think you'll remember. I
do indeed remember, yeah.
That's good to know. And I feel like the people who rode the roller coaster the best, it was all about mindset. It was the people who were able to remain positive, to actually think about, hang on a minute, like this is the areas that are not great, so how can I diversify and like be willing to change. At the time I was at Hays, and obviously Hays is a big name. The people who were doing really well were the people who had maybe, you know, like had a better strategy, like the people who weren't just relying on the name of where we were, they were actually like really strategic and creative and adaptable to, so I think adapting to change is a really good thing. And I think see everything as learning is really good. So when times are hard and things are not going so well, and I say to people all the time when people, because I coach people a lot, and when they're talking about challenging times, I'm like, everything's learning, right? It's all learning. It makes you feel a little bit better to think every time something goes wrong, I will become better and better and better at it. Because, and you'll see this with your team, they go to you, well, how come I don't just think like you do, Andy? Like, why did I not just see that? And why did I not say that and think that? Well, actually, because you've been doing this for such a long time that you're programmed that way now. So they're always, always learning. I mean, we're always learning. Even more so, the people who are newer to the industry and are trying to navigate the roller coaster, they're trying to learn how to deal with the emotional side, but that's a skill that we learned a long time ago. So it's about every time things happen, just keep thinking, okay, I've learned something new now, I'll get better and better, like little insurance policies, so that what I've now learned will probably never happen to me again. So keep doing that and keep positive. And I don't mean like, because obviously there's a thing, isn't there, where people talk about toxic positivity, where you're not allowed to have an off day and you're not allowed to ever say anything negative. And that can be really challenging if you are someone who suffers with mental health challenges, that you're going into an environment where you have to only say positive words. It's super challenging. I know a lot of people who would struggle with that, like, expectation. But try and remain as positive as you can with what you've got available to you. I think would be a really good way to do that, and to also work with the data and the analytics that you've got, the facts and the figures, to just keep getting better when you're dealing with these challenges.
Yeah, I think the idea of adaptability, using the numbers, creativity, but also a consistent plan, like you said. I think those things all together should give somebody that, like you said, I like the, what you, I think you should, insurance policy, did you say?
Yeah, that's how I like to think of it.
Yeah, it's your life vest, it's your fallback. Sorry, it's a nice point. So in light of what you were talking about there, whether it be stress management or mental health, positivity, how do you see the role of training related to that, and how that's evolved in the recruitment industry, particularly in light of the recent challenges and changes that a lot of companies have gone through?
Yeah, so the facts and the figures are speaking for themselves now. So what happens is companies start to take things like mental health and stress seriously when it starts to hit them financially. And it's a sad fact, but it's true. And the UK, obviously, I know you're in Amsterdam, but in the UK, 56 billion is lost a year through bad mental health procedures and policies in organisations. So there's this amazing company called Gallup, and they do like global analytical research. Yeah, they're US based. So their figures are great because they're all countries. And they did this huge wellbeing survey, and the figures were phenomenal. So the top 25 companies in the world are the ones with the best wellbeing policies in place. Profitability is up by 12.5% for businesses that have good, healthy wellbeing policies and procedures in place. So all these, it costs 25 grand at least to replace and recruit and train employees that are being lost by businesses. So if you can imagine, the retention is has a huge financial impact. Sickness has a huge financial impact. Not being able to attract talent has a huge financial impact. So in the recruitment industry, like, notoriously for our TA teams in all recruitment businesses, the competition is fierce to be the best, and Gen Z and millennials will not stand for organisations that don't take their well-being seriously, their mental health, and recognise that this is an important part of them being onboarded with a business. So I feel like this has had a huge impact. And quite rightly so. Like, I celebrate millennials and Gen Z. I love those guys. People call them snowflakes, and they're like, oh gosh, they're so entitled. They've changed the world of work for the better. So, like, I'm a little bit of a cheerleader for them. Because, like, without them saying hell no, like, we wouldn't work in such lovely companies. So, it's had a pretty positive impact on the recruitment industry, I think, because it's not the industry it was when I started, and I'm sure it's the same for you. It was harsh, and you were actually encouraged to be stressed, like, most of the time.
Certainly was an element of our feeling of that. Yeah,
absolutely. So I think that's had a huge impact, and
I think that shift is big.
Yeah. And obviously technology has a big part to play in that as well. So there's like this, like, for example, at Maury Bond, like, well, there's so much material in wellbeing just on the LMS. And this is having like a major impact on organisations because it's making well-being and good mental health practices more accessible as well.
I think a part of it's also the phrasing of it, right, the terminology as well. I think people, maybe before, whether it's recruitment or other industries, people knew that this stuff was important and knew that people had to have, what do they like, they call it in like manufacturing or sports, on a conducive environment, produce whatever you're trying to produce. So we know we need that environment, but people don't necessarily have the tools or the terminology of how to do it, or the person who feels that way, they don't know how to get the help they needed. But I think there's always been that idea of, like you were saying, about adaptability or positivity, or that idea of setting yourself up for success starts with feeling right, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know, don't you? Like, I, 100% for me, the best I ever performed, like when I was a senior manager in recruitment, I was always in a really great mindset place. Like, I knew it was going to happen. As soon as my mindset went into that place, I was like, I'm going to do really well. This is great. Because I can feel it. Because I'm in the right frame. I'm vibing this. And it's a fact. When you look at the figures, it's like positivity, good, like, well-being policies, investing in people. The results just prove that it's a really positive thing to do. I mean, we're passionate about it and we'd hope that companies would want to do it anyway. But yeah, the facts speak for themselves. People, especially in our industry, people who are in a good mindset space, they do well. Yeah.
Fair point. Really, really important point. And easily forgotten in sales roles or targeting roles, performance roles.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to ask you, Andy, because obviously you've got extensive experience in the recruitment industry and you've been a leader for a long time. What do you do?
A little bit.
Yeah. What do you do to make sure that you're managing your stress and the stress of your team? Because I know you're really quite passionate about this.
For me, yeah, we touched on it a little bit a moment ago. I think it's sort of that place has always been there, how you termed it before, whether it was mental health, well-being, or whatever phrase people used before. I think there was a quote from a movie, and I said this a while ago to somebody, I said, and this quote said, the only way to get it back is to go back to the beginning. And whenever I face like a challenging part of my career, even I'm talking like technically or skill set or a placement not succeeding or a challenging issue, I go, okay, how do you do this? How do you do it well, as in me or the person? What's your plan? What's step one of that plan? If this was fresh, you were just back from vacation or you've been out for whatever, what's your first move? Don't worry about the previous move or the next move and kind of start again. It's like your first, you know, you've not worked out for 2 weeks. Okay, I'm going to go for a small run. And my first workout is that kind of feeling. Yeah. Or within a day, if the routine, you know, from a routine perspective, with a good day plan will make you feel more confident, a bit like you said about the insurance policy. That day plan will give you that life vest to go, okay, I know, or it's your map or your direction. But during the course of the day, those things that fly at you in recruitment, the roller coaster, if it's a more challenging day, take a moment, take a stop and go, okay, where am I up to with my plan? What was I trying to do? What do I still need to do? What's still important in there? You know, I think you mentioned about the prioritization before and not rushing everything and not trying to do everything. It's not to say that you're not going to do something, but you're kind of going, okay, it's now X time on the clock. What do I need to do next? What do I still need to do right now that's going to have a positive impact? Those types of things, I think, whether it be that or what you were saying about the five steps, you know, the senses, is that idea of just grounding yourself for a moment in some sort of security.
Yeah,
I think that can really help.
That's super helpful.
And you see that a lot in our business.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Because again, you're chunking it, you're putting it into bite-sized chunks, you're prioritising it, you're getting creative about it, and really stepping back, grounding yourself and having a moment. I couldn't agree more. Like, I do think that's super helpful. Because when you're overwhelmed and there's so much going on, just almost stepping outside yourself a little bit, isn't it? It's just like being in your body, kicking in your senses and stepping, like, just letting all the noise go away from you for a little bit. It makes you much more effective. Yeah.
I think, you know, with that, you've got to look at how you can fill your own cup up as well at the start of a day. You know, I think if you think about anyone that's worked here and had success, whether it's their skill set or their tenacity or just their charisma or whatever it may be, they've also, in some way, shape or form, they're quite habitual, you know, whether it be fitness, whether it be running, whether it be mindfulness, whether it be a hobby, whatever that may be, there's some other part of their facet that allows them to manage that stress. But I think whatever that is for that individual, you've got to fill your cup up first. You can't come in tired and stressed to the challenging environment and expect to still perform. As much as you know you're busy and you've got the schedule and I've got to keep going, sometimes you might just need to go, do you know what? I might start closer to the clock today, but I'm going to work out first, or I am going to eat that nice healthy breakfast rather than grab a cereal bar as I leave the house. You know, those little moments where you go, okay, I fill the cup up. I don't know, journaling, if people journal, daily gratitude list.
Yeah.
Just listening to a good tune. If people are driving, you know, obviously we got offices in Manchester, Dallas. There's a lot of a commute for those guys in the car and traffic. Putting a good piece of music on, something that gets you in the zone. That type
of
thing.
I totally agree with that. Put your theme song on the way in and get yourself psyched up. Your energy makes a massive difference. The food that you eat, as you say, that like looking after yourself, pampering yourself, making yourself feel good, having like a salt bath on a night, like to just get away all of the stresses and strains
whatever it
of the
is,
day. Yeah, absolutely couldn't agree more. Like, do these little things that make you feel like you're looking after yourself, because it puts you into a really good headspace. Yeah.
I think there's so many examples internally where people who've had their successes or are having their successes, they've normally, I don't think there's been many where it's been seamless, where they've gone like, yeah, that person's been really good from day one. Even if that hurdle was a smaller hurdle, there was still a hurdle. And I think whatever that speed bump or hurdle was for anyone in our business, they've successfully managed the pitfalls, the stress, the habits, probably by, in most instances, I think about some of the leaders or some of the newer people who've had a real fast success, they've normally had a little roadblock, reassessed and kind of taken a different route. So I think it goes back to a little bit what you said before about learning and adaptability as well.
Yeah.
Whatever that learning is, that partly goes into, okay, I'm not going to keep hitting the roadblock. I've got to take a little detour to get back on track.
Absolutely.
That type of thing.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
So flip it back to yourself. From a Moria Bonds perspective, you mentioned the LMS. You've mentioned the network around us and the policies that we have or other companies have. What other supportive measures and initiatives have we got around for the well-being of our staff, for the recruiters that we've got here?
So I like, hand on heart, Amori Bond have an amazing overall company feel around well-being. It's so positive, and it's right from the top as well. So like the owners of the business strongly believe in it. I think that usually is the challenge for businesses, trying to persuade the board that well-being needs to be taken seriously. So that usually is how it works, but it's not like that at all at Amori Bond. It's kind of normal business as usual is well-being, is taking mental health really seriously. Obviously there's the mental health first aiders, there's the well-being committee, there is numerous well-being trainings, obviously of which I'm part of, with lots of external voices, experts in different areas brought in, so that people are getting like the best possible experts in their fields. There's the LMS with all the material on there as well. So then you can have the blended learning approaches, and there's the surveys, the questionnaires that go out, this is what you've asked for, so this is what we're going to do, so that well-being is being treated in a bespoke way rather than everyone can have fruit and we're going to do yoga. tends to be a bit of an angle that people do, which
that as well.
Yeah,
that's there too, though.
Of course we do. We want fruit and yoga. I love yoga and fruit, but sometimes it's a tick box and it's just like, oh, so what does it mean? Okay, let's throw some of this at the guys. But it's not. It's like it's a fluid, constantly evolving with the help of the committee and the servers. It constantly evolving and adapting, getting better process with so many great things. So yeah, and I think the more you ask your teams what they want, then the better it gets, because it's becoming something which suits everybody.
Obviously, with our ideas, box our suggestions, box from the committees, there's that, hopefully, there's that dialogue as well, right? You know, that people have that ability as well, you know, and like you say, that it comes from the top down and the bottom up, you know. I think even from the very early days of the company, like you said, with the founders and the directors, there was always that focus, whether you would banner it as well-being or mental health or setting someone up for success or positivity or just tools to do the role really well as a rounded person. It could be goal setting, it could be fitness, it could be what that motivation is behind what you're doing, so that at least the person can key in to why they're here. And that's part of the battle of someone's well-being as well, isn't it? Understanding why they're doing what they're doing and enjoying it as well.
Absolutely. A really good example is, so obviously this links in with Ascend, so the committee for women at Amore Bond, but we did a defense class, how to defend yourself.
Okay.
And honestly, that had a really good impact on my well-being that week, because I was really buzzing after doing that, thinking a company that values its employees so much that it's giving you the skills to protect yourself in a situation where you may be in danger. So I was like, that made me feel really good, and it was super useful. And that's just the ways that they, you know, Amore Bond group are constantly trying to think of like how to make it more interesting, more impactful. And I think that can have a really positive impact. I know all the women who were in that session just came away feeling great. So that, yeah, that's a really good example.
Thanks, Lisa. I really appreciate the insights today. It's been a nice chat. It's been valuable. The strategies there. And I hope for the listeners, they've got some helpful discussion, but some tips, some easy, usable things from this. And hopefully that helps them navigate the recruitment industry that little bit easier. So be sure to subscribe for more episodes. And thank you again. And until next time.
Thank you.